Welcome to Kaput Radio. Thank you for downloading this presentation based on an article written by Graham Ferguson and spoken by Len Martin. Today's title is called What Think? A provocative piece about victimhood, protest, and powerlessness. Powerless is defined as being unable to produce an effect. The situation we often find ourselves in is one of complaining and feeling guilty. Guilty of not being capable of changing undesirable conditions in society and our reality, but yet complaining. Please listen to this presentation and share it with your friends and acquaintances, because you may find the ideas are familiar with your own experience. I'm the producer, Martin Jensen, and I welcome you to Kaput Radio.
What? Think? To unleash humanity upon the world, first unleash our humanity from the debt-clad clasp that holds it ever closer, as it plaintively petitions for release. What a litany of financial misdeeds in our worldwide media, of the political shenanigans by those dastardly wrongdoers, swinging in the top dollar upmarket foliage of our deficited money tree. Are we hoping that chanting slogans, waving placards and science reports, jumping up and down, throwing accusations at them, while giving that money tree a shake-up, maybe some of the ill-gotten gains will flutter down upon us? It's called the trickle-down effect. But beware, they may counter by deficiting a load of debt on your protests. Actually, our finance system dumps a debt load of deficit over us all. But truly, are we actually that naive and unaware of what actually drives them, us, corruption, and the economy? Are we really entitled to think ourselves the superior species at the top of the food chain, when we hasten its extinction, link by ever-weakening link? Other than our feeble and historically proven, mostly futile local protest activities, we achieve nothing. As victims, we can accomplish nothing that is pertinent to rectifying the global debt problems under which we suffer and of which we so trenchantly complain. Debt unto debt and under debt to lie could well be our mantra. Debt levels may rise, debt levels may fall, but the deficit goes on forever, relative to the size and number of our borrowings. We borrow debt finance at unrepayable cost and put it into circulation as wage incomes, salary or pension incomes. Questioning the well-used phrase, money is power, is the unrepayable cost of the money. It is oh so powerful that it requires someone to prop it up by borrowing more to repay it. Also, our eligibility to borrow is limited to our ability to service that debt. That ability to service debt is enhanced during an economic boom and is diminished during an economic downturn, both of which are occasioned by the level of our purchasing power at the time. And the cause can be shuttled right back to our system of deficit finance. Economic downturns result from a decrease in sales all round. Spending and therefore borrowing cuts are introduced in the hope that falling debt levels will render us again able to service a debt and thus remain eligible for yet a further loan. But the servicing of a loan eventually requires a growing stream of spending, not a shrinking one. However, the increase in spending requires a higher level of borrowing to give the wage income, which is the money in circulation, enough purchasing power. Our eligibility for borrowing fluctuates in relation to prevailing community debt levels, and they rise and fall in response to our borrowing capacity. This is a never-ending cyclic event, but since our economy has only debt finance for accessing the products of industry, we're forced to continue with it. Sustainable outcomes of any kind are not possible, and under debt, we must borrow beyond our ability to repay. We forever teeter on the brink of some sort of economic disaster. Even so, profit levels must continually grow in line with the number of borrowings. This deficit cycle can only be slowed or sped up. It cannot remain static because of the growth demands of profit. Although economists are always trying to readjust the money flow, the economy cannot provide sustainable outcomes of any kind. A slowing economy produces an encroaching form of production paralysis as debt levels shrink. An accelerating economy is fueled by rising debt levels, energizing renewed productivity up to, but not beyond, the point of the community's ability to pay off the debt. But the debt repayment is only gained at the borrowing expense of a trading partner. We can only borrow and use debt finance because debt is all there is in our global economy. Therefore, we are always in debt, and we don't seem to comprehend the destructive nature of debt's side effects. We react with protest to a financial necessity driven by the survival requirement of a debt system, and that is borrow again. As the rule of debt is applied globally, there is and can be nothing but worldwide debt. Even profit growth is debt, and the debt has to grow. So profit in a world of debt equals a burgeoning of borrowing until we reach that borrowing limit. Then we cut back on our borrowing. With the debt rule controlling our world economy, our social and environmental tragedies are not only to be expected, but are precisely its result. The definition of money is debt, and debt is accepted as the new good. But profit is only of any use if it keeps growing, regardless of any cost-benefit analysis. The most unpopular thing we have to do here is criticize the victim mentality and attitude of all who just complain. They who wouldn't dream of looking for or of analyzing the cause of their, our, my, social, economic, and environmentally unenviable situation, even if it is pointed out in graphic and undeniable terms. That protest level of consciousness is unable to focus beyond the blaming of others. The victim complains and protests. The victim mentality identifies and confers power on others, them, those whom they see as perpetrators of the ill deeds they protest about. The rational mentality, however, investigates and learns that we are all in this together, from check-in to check-out. We all, the affluent and the impoverished, consume from the same leprous hand that feeds us. We must all eat to survive, and therefore continue to suffer this debt contagion, unless research discovers the cause. But genuine science research that might be listened to is aimed well away from the question of why its funding for anything is always so scarce. So, having not examined the problem, scientists also protest and sign petitions. Funding is non-existent for research into our monetary system. Oh yes, there have been expensive commissions of investigations into our banking system, but banking operations are just another aspect of and another effect of our debt financing. They are just another enterprise of the business world. Under this debt regime, capitalism is a misnomer. It is actually deficitism, a finance rule under which real capital cannot flourish. The cost of borrowing money into circulation under deficitism is, and must always be, greater than the amount borrowed. And so, our overall global economy is always in deficit. Us do-gooders and protesters comfortably follow the protest banners like good little lemmings, unable to fathom the why of, the rational of, or the cause of that at which we protest. Why do they do it? Why don't they stop? Why can't we stop them? Why can't they see what is happening? Even with the answer up front and in our face, as it has been many times, that minuscule financial equation of deficitism seems far too difficult for us social and environmental protesters to grasp. Maybe we all suffer a comprehension deficit. Could it just feel too uncomfortable looking for or at a cause? Some of us vaguely glimpse that there is no they. Surely our massive human brain power could at least dimly begin to realize that we do it and that we must halt the process. But we just hurl accusations and we protest at each other. You lot are ruining the environment versus you lot are ruining the economy. Regardless of our apparent mental deficiencies, neither side of protest gives not the slightest hint of how the alternatives we demand are to be funded and resolved from within our deficit finance model. Is it possible we don't even know that we suffer a debt system running our economy? Could it be that we don't even know that all money comes into existence as debt, at cost, and disappears when repaid? Is it possible that a comprehension of the effects of a debt system is non-existent? It seems hardly possible, but there it is. When the question is put, you draw a global blank. It seems two types of opposing value systems vie for ascendancy in our collective psychic infrastructure. One is the value placed on access to the items necessary for our immediate survival, food, clothing, shelter, etc. And the other is the value we place on our ethics, our humanity, and our morality. It includes philosophical concerns for others and for the environment. A tense and often contradictory relationship exists between the nurture and caring instincts of our humanitarian spirit and the power-stripping practice of our debt system. These values struggle for supremacy, but instinctive survival values must take precedence, or we're not even here to protest. Our deficit finance-controlled society can and does only accommodate our immediate, though stressed, survival at the expense of all other. It can in no way recognize or accommodate our moral or ethical aspirations. Our abuse of all resources and the pursuit of continual profit growth at the expense of keeping two-thirds of the world's population in poverty, meaning excluded from export market share, gives us just cause for guilt and complaint. Complaint has been developed, practiced, and refined into a vibrant art form and is now an industry in itself. It invades most contemporary art. Complaints of some aspect of our modern world form the basis of most song and rap lyrics, social comment, poetry, painting, film, theatre, and literature. And there are those very popular protest chants like, "What do we want? Where do we want it?" Guilt is expressed as tension and stress in our modern, postmodern, tense and stressful contemporary society. But complaint and protest, with no investigation of, with no concept of cause, is reminiscent of a primitive human impotently shaking a fist in protest at the elements for heaven knows what natural disaster. It's indicative of our self-assumed status as victim. And the villain is the other. To objectively look for the actual reasons for our economic woes and bring about reform is the very last activity a victim mentality would consider, not even for a moment. Regardless of those largely ineffectual protest activities over the years, our powers of reason are seemingly incapable of mounting that scary intellectual inquiry into a primary cause. So, unfortunately, we continue to blame those others. We say, they do it, not us. We are the victims. Their destructive activities might feed and clothe and house us, but we don't do it, do we? Why don't the victims of the world just unite we could do more protest? Our exploiting of all resources, pursuing continual profit growth while keeping two-thirds of the world's population poor in an abundant world, requires conscious action, but that can only result from objective thought, not victimized protest. We don't want to know about the one financial ruling at the base of the deficitist monetary system, even if that's what runs the whole global economic mess. We just want to assuage our guilt feelings over those billions of poor by protesting about it all. However, the reality is, as citizens, we really don't have to blockade, fight, incite rebellion or revolt. Civil unrisings are revolting enough and counterproductive under debt. To become conscious of our victimhood would want a populist intellectual revolution, taking the initiative, the responsibility, and the requirement of recognizing the initial, very real cause puts the ball firmly back in the court of the protester and of the protested. It would halt that continual, stupid, competitive, repetitive rally of tit-for-tat over the net that just goes on and on forever and nobody wins. But where debt becomes the target, not of protest, but of a thorough scrutiny, a civilized world becomes the winnable prize. Being conscious of cause may well hold the answer to uncovering the origin of most of our global problems. Sadly, it is probably the very last state of mind our victim mentality would consider being in. Even so, if the hope for consciousness is possible, it may just require a simple method, such as one individual informing another, and then another, of the cause, and showing how it results in a chain reaction of undesirable effects and how removing the primary cause would remove all the barriers to that peaceful, sustainable, humane world that we all want. First figure the cause, then inform another individual. What therefore do you think? Worth a try?
Thank you for listening. You heard an article written by Graham Ferguson and spoken by Len Martin. There are many more Kaput Radio productions available as downloadable podcasts, which can be found when you search for Kaput X Radio. Kaput with two T's, all easily identifiable by their title, many with similar topics dealing with the effects of our debt finance system. My name is Martin Jensen, and you catch me again with more Kaput Radio.